Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, September 8th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Sithandekile Mhlanga.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Factionalism in ZANU-PF has moved a gear up despite fresh attempts by President Robert Mugabe to reduce rising political tensions ahead of the party's crucial elective congress in December.
President Mugabe is no longer firmly in charge of his party, ZANU-PF. The factions in ZANU-PF have reached a point that they no longer care what President Mugabe says.
The Zimbabwe Teachers Association calls on parents to chip in if their children are to get a quality education as the government struggles to provide tools needed by teachers as the third term begins tomorrow.
Yes, we understand that our parents have got challenges, but my encouragement is that there will always be challenges. Why not then approach the responsible authorities of the schools and make arrangements?
And journalists and civil society campaigners are today paying tribute to human rights advocate and veteran journalist Thomas Debe, who died of apparent heart attack early yesterday.
Factionalism in ZANU-PF has moved a gear up despite fresh attempts by President Robert Mugabe to try and reduce rising political tensions in the party. After a marathon 10-hour Politburo meeting last week, Mr. Mugabe called for a moratorium on the suspension of party members in the provinces, in particular Harare and Mashonaland West. The party is also struggling to finalize its rules for contesting for posts ahead of the December elective congress. But reports yesterday showed the suspension of party members continued. The ZANU-PF Mashonaland West Provincial Executive has suspended its Secretary for Information and Publicity, Christopher Muchangwa, and Urungwe North MP Ruben Maurumahoko for failing to attend committee meetings consistently. A number of executive members in the province were also suspended.
Muchangwa told Studio 7 the suspension was a non-event. Party Chairman Simon Kayamoyo has been tasked with bringing normalcy to the party structures, now divided between those said to be backing Vice President Joyce Mujuru and those supporting Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa. Mujuru and Mnangagwa have consistently denied being factional leaders. Some ZANU-PF insiders say Kayamoyo cannot resolve the factional fights as he is accused of backing Mujuru. Efforts to get a comment from Kayamoyo and party spokesman Rugari Kumbo were futile, as they were said to be in a meeting. But independent political analyst Blessing Vava tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Mr. Mugabe is fast losing grip.
I think what is now clear in ZANU-PF is that President Mugabe is no longer firmly in charge of his party, ZANU-PF. The factions in ZANU-PF have reached a point that they no longer care what President Mugabe says. All they are now interested in is strategically positioning themselves to make sure that they become the dominant faction after Robert Mugabe has left.
But some analysts are saying Mr. Mugabe is the one who is actually encouraging this friction so that he will maintain power.
Well, it's still debatable. Of course, one might say that the more he makes sure that they are divided, the more that he confuses people and the more that he continues to be in power. But what is now clear, I think, from the reports that we have been reading, even the outbursts in the Politburo, the accusations in the Politburo, it clearly shows that President Mugabe is no longer in charge. Long ago, we used not to hear such reports of these debates, these accusations in the Politburo, these insults in the Politburo, and also the rate at which information is leaking in ZANU-PF, especially those closed meetings, the Politburo meetings, are a clear indication that President Mugabe has lost that same control of his political party.
Independent political analyst Blessing Vava speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Tomorrow in our political series, we will be talking to Professor Love Momaduku, the leader of the opposition National Constitutional Assembly, about his party and the state of the nation.
I think the Chinese trip was not meant to do anything. It was meant to divert attention from the fact that they are failing. What they want to do is to hope to gain another year of people expecting some return from the Chinese trip. At the end of a year from now, I think they will organize another trip, perhaps to Korea or going back to China to now say, yeah, we are reaching, we are almost there, etc. So it's not, we do not expect. The Chinese have been in this country for quite a long time, and they are not fools. All they want is to exploit the resources here. So most of the investment has, as you know, been in with our minerals. They've been doing mining in Kiazwa, mining everywhere, and so on. They are not paying our people well, as you know, and so forth. So the Chinese trip is not going to be the solution at all.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for Blessing Zulu's exclusive interview with NCA leader Professor Lovemo Maduku.
The Zimbabwe Teachers Association is urging parents to support teachers and their schools if their children are to get quality education. ZIMTA Chief Executive Officer Sifiso Ndlovu said parents should chip in and help where possible as the government continues to struggle financially and therefore failing to provide tools needed for teachers. The call is parents are preparing for schools to open tomorrow for the third term. Teachers' representatives were expected to meet with Education Minister Lazarus Chakaura Wednesday to discuss issues affecting the country's education system. But Studio 7 understand that the meeting has been postponed to a later date. Ndlovu earlier spoke with Studio 7's Jonga Kantemiri.
What I want to encourage every parent and every Zimbabwean authority in the schools is to ensure that as we open for third term, they provide resources that will facilitate effective learning and teaching so that our children can have quality public education in our public schools. And we are saying this because parents and authorities, they must put money together to send children to schools. Yes, we understand there are parents that have got challenges, but my encouragement is that there will always be challenges. Why not then approach the responsible authorities of the schools and make arrangements to liquidate the issue of school fees?
Your members are going back to school tomorrow. Are they facing any challenges?
Of course, they are facing challenges as parents first and foremost. Of course, they don't have adequate resources. Like all parents, will be running to responsible authorities to ask for properly privileged systems of payment of their own fees for the children. That is a challenge that is faced by every Zimbabwean due to our subdued economic activity. And at the same time, we are seeing teachers facing a very big hurdle where they have got to buy teaching and learning materials for themselves. And that is eating onto the very little and the mega resources that they have.
That was Zimbabwe Teachers Association Chief Executive Officer Sifiso Ndlovu in Harare with Studio 7. Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe National Students Union says as universities and colleges open in the country, their grievances remain the same. Reporter Tatenda Kombo spoke to Zimbabwe National Students Union spokesman Avoid Musirihawa, who explains the unions want real responses from the government on issues affecting them.
The most grievance that we have is that of exorbitant tuition fees. The very high fees, considering that our economy and our civil servants are not getting paid enough by the government. So that's one challenge that we are facing. And also, there's an issue of accommodation. I think the issue of accommodation has become very common. The government must respond to that crisis.
As you pointed out, you said that, of course, these are some of grievances that you have been dealing with over the past couple of years. Has there been any dialogue with government officials on this?
Yes, we have engaged them. We have engaged the government. We have demanded meetings and the workshops with the government so that we can discuss these challenges. But the challenge that we have is that probably they painted us as an appendage of the opposition parties, and therefore they don't respond to our call when we say, let's meet and discuss these challenges. Because these are real challenges. They affect our education sector and ultimately our economy. So what we were saying is that let's meet with the government, but they don't respond to our call. They don't respond to our demands.
That was Zimbabwe National Students Union spokesman Avoid Masirawa. J.
journalists and civil society campaigners were today paying tribute to human rights advocate and veteran journalist Thomas Debe, who died of apparent heart attack early yesterday. Debe died aged 52. He is survived by his wife, Bernadette, and four children. The deceased worked for various publications, including the Zimbabwe Mirror and the Daily News. He also served as chairman of the Media Institute of Southern Africa, or MISA Zimbabwe. At the time of his passing, Debe was working for Deep Roots Foundation. Mourners are gathered at his Zimri Park home in Harare ahead of burial at Warren Hills Cemetery at 2 p.m. tomorrow. A current MISA chair, Zimbabwe, Kumbirai Mafunda, tells reporter Ntunga Milinkomo, Debe's passing has left Zimbabwe poorer.
We are saddened by the departure of our colleague, Thomas Debe. We worked with him, like you rightly pointed out. He once served as MISA Zimbabwe chairperson. During that tenure, Thomas worked tirelessly and so hard to promote media freedom, to promote liberalism, to promote media diversity in Zimbabwe. We are saddened by the passing on of Thomas, and surely we are at a loss of words. We really would have wanted Thomas to have been with us longer, but we have to accept what has happened. But yes, it's a sad day for MISA Zimbabwe, and it's a sad day for proponents of democracy and human rights and good governance in Zimbabwe.
What's the one outstanding aspect of Mr. Debe's life that you will remember him by?
I will always cherish the contributions made by Thomas when he served as a leader of the MISA family, when he served as a journalist. We are proud that we now have a new constitution which guarantees freedom of expression, which guarantees media freedom. So, freedom of the media. We are happy that Thomas has left after Zimbabwe has secured a new constitution that guarantees all these fundamental rights. I will continue to cherish the role that Thomas played when he contributed as a journalist. He was an open person. He was a dedicated person to his professional journalism, even him being a civil society rights activist. Thomas always advocated for open systems. So we certainly miss him in that regard.
That was Mr. Zimbabwe Chairman Kumbirai Mafunda in Harare. We are all, you know, saddened by Mr. Debe's death. We will surely miss him. He was a good friend. He was a colleague. And so we say go well, Mr. Debe.
The European Commission will provide 5 million euros to the newly established mission of the African Union's support to Ebola outbreak in West Africa, ASEOA, that will join ongoing efforts to contain the spread of the disease in the region. European Commissioner for Development Andris Pelberg said there is need to cooperate closely in fighting the deadly disease. He said the funding will contribute towards a strong, coordinated international response. ASEOA will provide advice to the Ebola coordination structures in the affected countries and engage in joint operations with them. It will also provide medical support in their ongoing responses to the Ebola outbreak and assist local authorities and the international community in consolidating the control over the virus epidemic. Today's announcement was made in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, at an AU partner group's meeting on Ebola.
2 million euros of today's funding came from the EU support for fighting Ebola that was announced by Commissioner Pigouz last Friday. The remaining 3 million euros will be provided through the so-called African Union Support Programme, an existing EU funding mechanism that provides technical capacity to the EU. African Union officials held an emergency meeting today in Addis Ababa to discuss how to respond, including the effects of closing borders and suspending flights to the affected countries. AU Chairperson Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma stressed the need for public health education and efforts that do not fuel stigmatization and isolation. Marvelous Mhlanganya Wuye speaks with Dr. Rutendo Bonde of the Zimbabwe Human Rights Doctors Association, who says more needs to be done to curb the disease.
We don't deny the value of those meetings, but the appeal that we have is to say that those meetings must not remain talk shows where there isn't enough information dissemination follows, where there isn't enough financial resource being committed, where there isn't enough capacity building of health professionals, which follows those meetings. So in terms of preparedness, yes, there is some surveillance which is being done, but of course more can be done.
And also, just looking at Ebola itself, how can the public out there be prepared? What do they need to be mindful of?
Ebola is spread through the exchange of bodily fluid from an infected person. So people are encouraged to exercise extreme personal hygiene in every facet of personal hygiene, as well as to avoid overcrowded areas and safeguard themselves to the maximum level, especially when they travel to areas which are within the epicenter of the epidemic.
That was Dr. Rutende Bonde of the Zimbabwe Doctors for Human Rights on the line from Gweru with Mavelas Mhlanganyahuye.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up, expecting mothers in Shurugi happy about a new shelter that will give them easier access to health. But first, a look at regional and international news. The new UN Human Rights Chief has called for the protection of women and children targeted by Islamic State militants. In a hard-hitting maiden speech today in Geneva, Zeid Rahad Al Hussein said any country run by Islamic State would be a harsh, mean-spirited house of blood. The Islamic State group has taken over large parts of eastern Syria and northern and western Iraq as it seeks to impose an Islamic caliphate without regard to national borders.
U.S. President Barack Obama says the international community needs to respond to the Ebola crisis in West Africa, where he says a lack of public health infrastructure has led to the spread of containable problem. Mr. Obama told NBC News that the U.S. military assets are needed to set up isolation units and equipment and to provide security for international health workers. He said he believes the United States needs to make dealing with the Ebola outbreak a national security priority. The Ebola outbreak has killed more than 2,000 people, mostly in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone.
And Britain's Prince William, the grandson of Queen Elizabeth, and his wife Kate are expecting their second baby. The royal family made the announcement today. The couple's first child, Prince George, was born in July last year. British Prime Minister David Cameron said on his Twitter account that he is delighted with the happy news.
Villagers in Shurugwe South say the opening of a home for expectant mothers at the biggest clinic in the area will help local pregnant women to have easier access to the health facility. Correspondent Taurai Shava has more.
Some of the villagers who spoke to Studio 7 said the opening of the waiting mother's shelter at Zamawande Clinic in Shurugwe South would help reduce maternal deaths as more women would be able to deliver at the clinic rather than at their rural homes. Although Shurugwe is a district hospital located in the town of Shurugwe, the Midlands Provincial Medical Directorate says Zamawande Clinic serves as the referral center for 17 of 23 clinics or health centers in the area, with some people from the neighboring districts of Chivi and Rishavane also using the facility. Owing to the large catchment area that it serves, Zamawande Clinic has also been earmarked for upgrading to a district hospital. Acting sister in charge for the clinic, Mary Jo, said the new waiting mother's shelter will be very useful.
For nearly 26 wards, and we extend even to Chivi district. We even extend to Rishavane district, especially Matenda, because it's more to Shurugwe than Rishavane. So this waiting mother's shelter is helping us, so in that these women, they access the bathing facility within Zamawande Rural Hospital. It reduces maternal and perinatal mortality by improving our access to skilled birth attendants and emergency care, particularly for these women who come from these remote areas.
According to the Midlands Provincial Medical Directorate, there were 49 maternal deaths in the province last year, with 6 of them being recorded in the Shurugwe district. Sister Jo said with the opening of the waiting mother's shelter, such deaths should be reduced. One of the expectant mothers who spoke to Studio 7 is Priska Mashaya of Anke Mission, over 20 kilometers from Zamawande Clinic. Mashaya said she had to come to the waiting mother's shelter at Jamavande as there is no such facility where she lives. Another expectant mother is Mo Blessing Mbinda from Chitora near the border with Chirumanzu district. She came to Jamavande also because no such facility exists in her area.
I came from Chitora. I came to await my delivery date here at Rawamande because this is the nearest biggest clinic which has a waiting mother's shelter. The facility is very nice and expectant mothers like me can wait for their due date in comfort. There is running water here. There is no such facility where I live.
Jamavande Waiting Mother's Shelter was commissioned last Friday and it was constructed at a cost of over $50,000, which was provided by the Canadian International Development Agency through Women's International Coalition, or WICO, a local non-governmental organization. The home can accommodate 30 expecting mothers at any given time, and it also has a separate laundry and cooking area. The Tongogara Community Share Ownership Trust also contributed a fraction of the funding. Headman Rex Maveza, who is also chairperson of the Jamavande Village Development Committee, revealed that locals also chipped in by molding bricks for the shelter as well as providing the builders.
As locals, we felt it was very important for us to assist in the construction of the waiting mother's shelter because the older shelters were not that good. So when WICO came with a plan for the construction of the new shelter, we thought it was important for us to be involved, as we felt that it would not be proper for outsiders to help us while we sit back and watch.
Reporting for Studio 7 from Jamavande Clinic in Shurugwi, this is Taurai Shava.
Some traditionally say no deaths were recorded in the just-ended circumcision ceremonies in Zimbabwe, as at least 10 boys bled to death in similar initiation schools in South Africa. They say the country's initiation schools in Mbembesi and some parts of Chipinge are run by highly trained people, unlike in South Africa, where some initiation schools are being conducted for business purposes. Xhosa Prince Macleod Chwawe says more than 150 boys were circumcised in Mbembesi, Matabeleland South Province this year without encountering any hurdles. No deaths were recorded last year.
Zimbabwe is among 14 African nations that introduced medical male circumcision in 2009, following a study which indicated that the medical procedure reduces HIV transmission by 60%. Chawe tells Studio 7 Skips Dube this procedure can be blended with traditional circumcision method to curb deaths at initiation schools.
We didn't have any casualties, neither any deaths like what happens in South Africa, where we suspect they use people who are not actually fundies or trained in that type of job, that is to circumcise these youngsters.
So in the case of Zimbabwe, how are you actually doing it to avoid these deaths?
Well, what happens is we have a person, I don't know what you'd call in English, like, well, it's not a doctor, somebody who is trained, who we call inwebi. That is the person who is actually mandated to go and circumcise these youngsters because he already is trained how to go about it. You don't just do it and cut where you're not supposed to cut. That will definitely cause death if you do that, because all you do is to cut the foreskin. All right.
Now, is there any way that you can combine a traditional circumcision with the modern circumcision that is being practiced in Zimbabwe right now?
Well, we do encourage that, Mr. Dube, that everybody be circumcised, and that in particular myself, I am saying the young children, if possible, must actually be circumcised in hospitals. But unfortunately, the elders would tell you we need our children to get into that little built hut, which is called Ipuma. But I do encourage that this should be a combination of the two, the hospitals and the traditional circumcision ceremony.
That was Xhosa Prince Makiaot Chawe speaking with Studio 7 from Mbembesi. Zimbabwe is planning to introduce PrePex, a bloodless circumcision device health officials say will decrease the number of deaths and injuries caused by unsafe circumcision practices during initiation ceremonies. Meanwhile, Elijah Cheruka of Nyazura says her nephew is in critical condition following a medical circumcision procedure 2 months ago at Murambinda Hospital.
The name of the child is
financial dreams stolen from Chikawa village in Tandi. The boy was circumcised in June, and last Saturday, the boy fell down, and the boy was sent to a clinic. It was found that the testes had broken into pieces, and the clinic, which is in Mvurungwa, in the area, referred the child to Rusape General Hospital. And at the Rusape, there was an accident, so the child was not attended to and was referred to Murambinda. And right now, the boy did not get any attention and is being referred to Harare. The Murambinda Hospital is saying we cannot manage this case. Right now, the boy is suffering, cannot be provided with transport to Harare. There's no ambulance. We are now risking the life of this child because of circumcision. It was done by medical practitioners.
That was Elijah Cheruka in Nyazura. He spoke with Studio 7's Skip Stube. Workers from the National Railways of Zimbabwe, who staged demonstrations on Saturday over their outstanding salaries, say they expect the management to speedily address their concerns and pay them the outstanding arrears. The High Court recently overruled an earlier decision by police to bar the demonstrations in Bulawayo, Harare, Gweru and Mutare, where workers say the weekend protests were peaceful and successful.
Tamrai Moyo, president of the Zimbabwe Almaketet Railways Union, one of the NRZ unions involved in the demonstrations, tells Studio 7 the workers expect to meet with the management soon to resolve the salary dispute.
What we are looking forward for is the response from management. If it's a serious management that is good for the welfare of the organization, that definitely they will call us to say, let's come and sit on the table to discuss the outstanding issues. We didn't hand over the petition as such. What we did, we had message inscribed on our T-shirts, we had posters that were carrying the message, and we went around the town. The idea was to tell the whole world what was going, what the railway employees were going through.
Would you say it was successful?
Very, very successful. In all the four major cities that we held the demonstration, it was plus or minus 800. It was 800 and above. There was no disturbance from the police. In fact, like what happened in Bulawayo, our representative was in Bulawayo because I was in Gweru, because I was on my way from Harare. So when I came to Gweru, I found it was very peaceful. In Harare, people had gathered as early as 8 o'clock. It was very peaceful. And in Bulawayo, from what I was told by the person who was representing me there, as the president of the organization, he was saying there was no problem and there was no disturbance from the police. In fact, what they did, they had even to call other police for enforcement. They were very cooperative.
That was Tamurai Moyo, president of the Zimbabwe Almaketet Railways Union, on the line from Bulawayo. Meanwhile, the NRZ says the parastatal's performance depends on the country's economy, and it is also making efforts to revamp the company and meet all its responsibilities, including the workers' demands.
And just briefly, Sita, we have a lot of emails, but we'll try to read some of the emails in our mailbag. There is a listener who did not want to be named. He says, what you do is good journalism. The world depends on you. Considering that Zimbabweans are scattered around the world due to economic problems, due to economic meltdown in our country.
Another listener says, how are you, Blessing? Please extend my greetings to all my churchmates in Mbare, especially Pastor Mabasa. Please don't tire. Keep on doing your good job.
Good day, Studio 7. Hope you guys are doing good, particularly Blessing, Jonga, Sandra, and those guys in the production team. I like your relevance in your news platform. You bring accurate news daily. Please increase your time to 1 hour or more. Thumbs up, guys. I am Gigantixon Chirigo at Triangle. I would like to pass my greetings to the entire Chirigo family in Zimbabwe and beyond the borders, especially Romeo, Munodani, Tafazwa, Auntie Thelma, PA and Innocent. Hope you will include my post in today's letters.
Yes, that's all we have for you today. But before we go, a recap of today's top stories.
Factionalism in ZANU-PF moves the gear up despite fresh attempts by President Robert Mugabe to reduce rising tensions.
The Zimbabwe Teachers Association calls on parents to chip in if their children are to get quality education as the government struggles to provide tools needed by teachers as the third term begins tomorrow.
and journalists and civil society campaigners are today paying tribute to human rights advocate and veteran journalist Thomas Deve, who died of apparent heart attack early yesterday. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. Please remember but to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today we are discussing schools opening tomorrow. Good night, Zimbabwe. This is Sandra Nyaira in